Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, they quote from Rishonim that when you're laying two sedres mechuborim, you should be careful not to give more aliyahs on one sedra than to the other sedra. As if you would have, let's say, two rabbonim, guests, in your home or in your shul, so you shouldn't be mechabed more one than the other. Shouldn't be mechabed one tamachach more than the other. So if you give more aliyahs on one sedra than the other, the sedra who's going to get cheated will feel insulted. So the sedras are not human beings, but we train ourselves with these kind of things. Like we cover up the challah when we say Kiddush. So one of the reasons given by the Rishonim is that the challah shouldn't feel insulted. The challah doesn't feel insulted, but we should train ourselves that when we're dealing with human beings, we should be sensitive. So that's what the Rishonim say. You divide the aliyahs equally. Exactly what does that mean? So that's a machlokes in Achrayim. So the Levush says that the Gabbai has to make up his mind in advance how many hoisofis he's going to make. And if he plans to make 10 aliyahs, it should be 5 and 5. If he plans to give 12 aliyahs, it should be 6 and 6. If he plans to give 9 aliyahs, it should be 4 and a half and 4 and a half. And you should be mechaber with chamishi. That's what the Levush says. And the Taz quotes the Levush and disagrees. He thinks, no, that you only have to make the two sedras equal in the Zayin Kruim, the basic 7 aliyahs. The hoisofis don't count. So that's why our practice is we always follow the Taz. Whenever you have two sedras mechuborim, we're always mechaba with revi. So you have 3.5 aliyahs of the Zayin Kruim in the first sedra, and 3.5 aliyahs of the Zayin Kruim in the second sedra. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father had a suggestion that whenever you have mechuborim, you shouldn't make any hoisofis, so you don't have to get involved in the machlokes. The shot is whether Nitzov Vayelech is really two sedras which are mechuborim. Maybe it's one sedra. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. That the Vilna Gaon said that everything that's going to happen in the future is merumas in Chumash. So they asked him, where are you merumas? Where is the remes for the Vilna Gaon? So he took a Chumash and he started looking at Parshas Kiseitze, mishing and mishing until he found a pasuk, the end of Parshas Kiseitze. Even Shlemo Batzedek Yihi Aloch. You have to have honest weights and honest measurements, honest scales. A businessman shouldn't cheat. In the store where they sell fruits and vegetables, he should have honest scales. So the Vilna Gaon said, Even Shlemo, as Rosh Tevis, Eliyahu ben Shlomo. That was his name, Eliyahu ben Shlomo. That's why, because of that remez that he said, so that's why there's a sefer Even Shlemo that has a likut of the opinions of the Vilna Gaon on different issues. On Bitochen and on Hishtadlos and on Talmud Torah and on Tefillah, different things are likud from all the Sifrei Hagro in areas of Hashkofa. So then Rav Chaim Volozhin asked, where is the remez for me? So he found the remez for him also. Sure. Rav Chaim Volozhin was embarrassed to say it over. Apparently it was flattering, so he was embarrassed to say it over to other people. But he said he found the remez. Then he asked the Vilna Gaon, why did he look in Kiseitze? It's a big chumash. Why did he decide to look in Kiseitze? So he said that there are 10 sedras in Chumash Devarim. Are there 11 sedras? So he says, no, that Nitzav Vayelech is one sedra kayadua. I don't know exactly what that means, kayadua. The Zohar talks about the fact that there are 53 sedras. In our Chumash there are 54 sedras. So the Vilna Gaon thought that Nitzav Vayelech is Kayodu, it's one sedra. Others say that Truma Tetzaveh is counted as one sedra because the name of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appear in Tetzaveh. After the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, his name appears in every sedra except for Tetzaveh. So others say that that's why the Zohar counts Truma Tetzaveh as one sedra, so you shouldn't have a parsha, shouldn't have a sedra that doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name. So the Vilna Gaon thought that it's not so. He thought that Nitzav Vayelech is the one. And what does this represent? The fact that there are 10 sedras in Chumash Dvarim, that each sedra has a remez as far as with respect to what's going to happen in that century of the sixth millennium. The Gemara tells us that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. That's the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochva may possibly be the Melech HaMashiach, so they told him it can't be because they had a tradition. Rabbi Akiva said he never heard of it. The other Tanoim had a tradition. The world is going to last 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years is Tohu, the second 2,000 years is Torah, and the third 2,000 years is Yemos HaMashiach, means it's possible for Mashiach to come any time in the last 2,000 years. What do you mean the first 2,000 years was Tohu and then starts Torah? When did the Torah begin? So the Rashi makes the whole, the Gemara makes the whole Cheshbon in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, that if you calculate Adam Sheis Enish Kenem Halalel, how old was Adam Harishon when Sheis was born? How old was Sheis when his son Adam Sheis Enish Kenem Halalel? How old were they? So based on arithmetic, just plain arithmetic, Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948. And then the Gemara says we have a tradition when Avraham Avinu reached the age of 52. That's when he started preaching monotheism in public. Hanefesh Asherosa Bechoran, when he was preaching Torah in public. That was the year 2000. So that was the beginning of the Shnei Alof and Torah. Maimon Hasina was way later. It wasn't in the days of Avraham Avinu. But when Avraham Avinu reached the age of 52, that was the end of the 2,000 years of Tohu, and it began the 2,000 years of Torah. And then the last 2,000 years is Yemos HaMashiach. So Bar Kochba was way before the last 2,000 years. So they told Rabbi Akiva, you're wrong. You're going to be dead and buried and pushing daisies. Grass is going to grow on top of your kever. It's still not the Zman of Bias HaMashiach. Mashiach can't come before the beginning of the fifth millennium. Sometime in the fifth or the sixth millennium, Mashiach is going to come. So the Vilna Gaon thought that, I don't know where he got this tradition from, maybe it's also in the Zohar. Vilna Gaon said that each Sedra in Chumash Dvarim, there are 10 Sedras, each Sedra corresponds to one century in the 6th millennium. And the way we usually assume, 1240 was the year 5000 Libri Asylum. So from 1240 to 1340 was the first century, to 1440 was the second century, and he lived, at that time he was after 1740. So that's the sixth century. So that's why he looked in Kiseitze, which is the sixth Sedra in Chumash Dvarim, because you have to find a remez for me after the year 1740. That's why we assume that 1940 was Shnas Tovshin. We're working on the assumption, this is all based on the assumption that the Bais Sheni lasted for 420 years. The Bais Rishon lasted for 410 years, that says in Tanakh. So that's a fact of history. Bais Sheni lasted for 420 years, that's how the Gemara says. In the history books, the Goyish history books, according to their calculation, the Bais Sheni lasted 150 years longer than that, much longer. So that's a question, whether we follow the Goyish history books, we assume the Gemara made a mistake, or we assume the Goyish historians made a mistake. The Gemara is right. That's the Machlok is the Balamor and the Raivid, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara talks a little bit about history there. So the Gemara says that all the names of the kings that appear in Tanakh, the names of the Goyishin kings, they're all names of the same king. It was the same person. So you're shrinking the Bais Sheni by 150 years. So the Balamor writes there in Rosh Hashanah, we all know that the Gemara made a mistake, and you look in the history books, the Bais Sheni was much longer. 150 years longer than the Gemara thought it was. And the Raivid who learned Becharusa with the Balamar writes, Apikiris, what are you talking about? The history books are wrong and the Gemara is right. So that's an ongoing debate. Chazanish thought that the history books were wrong and many other Gedolim thought that the Gemara was wrong. Ashayla in history, who's right? So the Vilna Gaon was assuming that we're following the Gemara, that that the 1240 was the beginning of the 6th millennium, the last unit of 1,000 years, and he lived after 1740, so that's why he said he was looking at Parshas Kiseitze, there should be a remez for him somewhere over here in the 6th Sedra, which corresponds to the sixth century of the 6th millennium. The one who printed this lived in Eretz Yisrael almost 100 years ago. I think his name was Reb Shmuel Malzahn, and he put out a sefer called Emunah Bitochon. So he quotes a lot of things from the Vilna Gaon. This is one of the things that he quotes. Then he suggests on his own, he wrote this right before 1940, in the middle of the Second World War, when the Nazis were killing a lot of Jews. So he adds on that Parshas Kisavo is the is the seventh sedra in the Chumash Dvarim. So according to the Vilna Gaon, that should correspond to what's going to happen in the 7th century. So the 7th century is from 1840 to 1940. So he didn't realize that the Shoah, the Nazis' killing, was worse after 1940 than it was before. The Sefer was printed before 1940, right before. So he writes, maybe the Teuchachem in Kisavoy, which is so terrible, so much, the curses are much worse than in Mechukosa, it's terrible. And it ends off without any Nechama. So maybe that corresponds to the Shoah that we experienced, that they were experiencing at that time. Others add on, if this Cheshbon is correct, that everything goes 1840 to 1940, so then in the next parasha, what happened after 1940? Hakamas HaMedina, and the big tshuva movement. So that's what it says in the Tzavim Vayela. It talks about Hakamas HaMedina, the Jews are going to Shiva Sion, the Jews are going to return back to Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be a big movement of tshuva. And now you see a lot of people writing Sefer Torah. The whole mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is talking Parashas Vayelach. If this calculation is right, that you keep on, the cutoff point is 1740, 1840, 1940, so then Nitzav Vayelach, if it's one Sedra Kayodua, so then it's corresponding to what's happening now. The Shaila is it really so that 1240 corresponds to the year 5000 of Bria Zoyl? That's what the Vilna Gaon was assuming like that. The beginning of Nitzav, the middle of Nitzav, at the end of Shlishi, today's Kriya, the pasuk says, "Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu v'haniglos lonol v'aneinu ad olam." So Rashi points out from the Gemara there are 11 nikudas on top of lonol v'aneinu and the ayin of ad. Whenever you have a nikud, the old style used to be if a sofer wrote something in any languages, not only Jewish sofer, if a person wrote something, it was a mistake, so we would cross it out or erase it. And then we used to put dots on top to indicate that it should be erased. So the Nekudas, the 11 Nekudas, represent the idea as if these words would be crossed out. The Pasuk is telling us, HaNiglos Lonol Varena Olam Lasos, that if I see someone else is doing an Avera, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeb, all obligated to see to it that he stops doing the Avera. We have an obligation to see to it that everybody else does the mitzvahs. This Pasuk is telling us the Din of Orvus. So the Nekudas indicate that it's not so, that it wasn't so until Ori saw the Sayardain, until they made the Brachas of Klolos the Hagriz Maharevo. Then in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was proclaiming this, it wasn't yet true. So the Nekudas represent the idea as if you're crossing it out. This halacha of Orvus is the basis of the halacha that Yotza Moitzi. I think we mentioned last week that Rav Sadia Goin counts the Brachas of Klolos the Hagriz Maharevo is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So the Mefarshim asks, what do you mean? How does it count as a mitzvah? Once in the history of the world? Why is that a mitzvah? So that's what the one who wrote the commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, the one who invented the whole Sefer Mitzvah, Rav Sadia Goin, Rav Yeruchim Perla, suggests that maybe what the Rav Sadia Goin meant to say by counting this as a mitzvah, it was the concept of Arvus. That counts as one of the mitzvahs, the Parsha of Arvus. Parsha of Arvus is Negeh Halacha Lamaisa. That the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Mishenim b'chui b'dover, and imotios harabim midei chayvosam, that a woman cannot serve as the Baal Tekeh and Shul, a kotten anochri, if the best Baal Tekeh is anochri, so you cannot have him blow shofar for the tzibah, because whoever is not b'chui b'dover cannot be motiach midei chayvosam. So the Gemara has a sofik, what's the din if the Baal Tekeh already blew in Shul and he was yotzei? That he wants to go to the hospital or to the old age home to blow again a second time there for the other people, but he was already yotze, so he's no longer mechui bedover. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, afo pishi yotze, moitzi. Even though he was yotze in the mitzvah already, he can blow shoy for a second time. So Rashi and all the Rishonim ask, but he's no longer mechui bedover. He's not mechui bedover, how is he motzi acherim? So that's what Rashi and all the Rishonim accept Abshat of Rashi. He said, kol yisrael arevim zeh bezeh, accomplishes that he's still called mechui bedover. The man is still mechui b'dover. As long as there's one Jew left in the other end of the world who didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet, so I didn't completely fulfill my mitzvah either, and I'm still mechui to blow shofar if it'll help anybody else be yotze. So we say it will help. I'll blow shofar a second time, so I'll be yotze, and he'll be yotze along with me. When you say yotze moitze, when the baltikeh blows shofar for the people in the hospital, it's not that he's only blowing for them and not for himself. No, he's blowing for himself, and agav himself, the other people are also yotze. Whenever you have yotze moitze, it's really shamei kaina. I'm still mechuyev bedover. Every Jew is still mechuyev to blow shofar if it's going to help someone else. The yotze with the tkir shem. So that idea, kol yisrael harayim zebzeh, is what was nischadish at hagrizim and harayvam. That's the pasuk. Hanigalos lonol vaneinu ad olam laasos. Laasos means to force other people to do, to encourage other people. Godol hamaase yotze min haoyse. The Gemara says the one who causes others to give tzedakah gets more schar than the guy who gives the tzedakah, because people feel uncomfortable pestering others to give tzedakah. Someone comes to me for tzedakah, so it's easier for me to make out a check. Someone comes to me, I should call up other people to ask them to give tzedakah. That's uncomfortable. So the Gemara says, Godol hamaase yoseh min oseh. The one who encourages others to give tzedakah deserves more reward than the people who give the tzedakah. So the Gemara is interpreting the pasuk, haniglos alon alvarenu adoylam la'asos to be ma'asa others. Like you say, a get ma'usa. If the Bezin forced the person to give a get, that's a get mu'usa. So sometimes the get mu'usa is kosher, sometimes the get mu'usa is pasul. If it's a get mu'usa kedin, then it's kosher. If it's mu'usa shalai kedin, then it's going to be pasul.
Now, what if he can't deal with the mitzvah? For instance, let's say he missed a day in Sirius
Oymer,
he can't
deal with
the mitzvah
himself
anymore.
And
he still makes the bracha for someone else.
Is that a good shayla? Okay, got to work on that shayla. Salam de Shashana. Here the Torah speaks about the Jewish people. Voyke yavoy olecha kol adram hela abrocha v'aklola v'shavta ad Hashem alakecha v'shamata v'kola v'sham Hashem alakecha v'shivuzcha v'lo return back to Eretz Yisrael miyan didacha v'tzir Hashem v'sham v'kabetzcha v'yachal horetz v'shiyosho v'sech v'lo return to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes all about Bias HaMashiach in the end of Hilchas Malachim. So he quotes this pasuk. You see, the Torah promises the coming of Mashiach. In the end of days, after the Jews will suffer and suffer through all the Golios, will finally do tshuva and will return back to Eretz Yisrael. So this is alluding to Bias HaMashiach. The Rambam writes, whoever doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach, not only is he denying the prophecies of the other Nevi'im, he's not living up to what it says in the Chumash. Because this parsha and itzav and these psukim are speaking about Bias HaMashiach, and as well as the psukim in parsha's Bolak and the Vuaz Bilam. Bilam speaks about Arenu v'layata, Arenu v'laykorim, speaks about the coming of Mashiach also. The Rambam adapts that position in the last parak in Sanhedrin. Ani son digolim ela b'tshuva. The Jewish people will only have a geula if it'll come along with tshuva. B'shavta Hashem alakecha. Tshuva then will have a geula. Rav Yachel ha'aretz. So the Rambam writes that we have a problem. People have bechira chofshis, so maybe the Jewish people will decide never to do tshuva, so we'll never have a geula. So how can you have 13 principles of emunah, yigimli kori emunah, and one is bias hamashiach? It's not necessarily going to happen. If we'll never do tshuva, so there won't be any bias hamashiach, and it's only gala mele b'tshuva. So the Rambam says, no, kvar hivticha ha-toira. So from shal Yisrael asas tshuva. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva. The Torah promises, when it says over here, this is a haftocha. That's how the Rambam writes. This is a haftocha that ultimately the Jewish people will do tshuva. How can there be such haftocha? Isn't a contradiction to Bechira Chavshin? What if we'll all decide we don't want to do tshuva? We're going to show him. We're going to show Rabbanu Shalom, who's boss. We're not going to do tshuva. So how is it possible? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, Rav Soloveitchik used to speak a lot. He only gave shiur when I was in the shiur originally. In the early years, he only gave shiur Tuesday and Wednesday, but he used to talk very quickly, and he said a lot. And each shiur was only 2 hours, but and the other rabbein gave shiur 5 days a week. And in the 2 hours shiur that he gave on Tuesday and Wednesday, he covered more than the other rabbein did all week long. He used to speak very quickly, and he covered a lot of ground. Then he used to give a shiur, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, for many years, for the Rabbinical Council of America. Then he used to give a shiur for Rabbinical alumni every year before Pesach. And he was always giving shiur medrashas. Unbelievable. He felt like an obsession. After the war, so many Talmid HaChamim were killed, and so much Torah was destroyed. So he felt obsessed. He has to transmit all the Torah that he has. He was always talking and saying a lot. Every shiur was only 2 hours. Every drasha was only 2 hours, but he had everything up. And then in Boston, every Motzei Shabbos, he gave a drasha. And Sunday morning, he had a shiur in Boston to a different group. Everything in Donishtig. There was another special shiur. So one of the recurrent themes in the tshuva drasha that he used to give for many years on the Aseres Yemei Tshuva was about this. How can you have Kraheftiha HaTorah? So Shofum Shal Yisrael La'asuf Tshuva, ultimately the Jewish people will do tshuva. So he referred to what the Bala Tanya talks about. First, the Babaji Rebbe wrote a book that's called, the nickname of the book is Tanya. The real name is Likutei Amorim. It's called Tanya because the first word in the book is Tanya. So the Bala Tanya in the Sefer writes about the Ava HaMesuteris, the hidden love that every Jew has towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if a person doesn't seem to be religious at all, but deep down in his heart there is a hidden love that every Jew has towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that so? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, because the Malach teaches, the Talmud tells us, an Agadata, we don't know exactly how to understand it, but roughly speaking, we know what it's talking about. The Malach teaches every Jewish baby Kol HaTarakuli before he's born. Then the Malach slaps the baby before he's born, and he forgets everything. So why does he engage in this act of futility? Why does he teach him in the first place he's going to make him forget? So the answer is, the baby forgets the dinim, but he doesn't forget everything. It leaves a roshim on the baby. And that roshim that's left by the Malach teaching Kol HaTarakuli is what the Bala Tanya calls the Abba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does learning Torah implant an ahava towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, that's what it says in Kriyat Shema. You have to ask Hashem Alekecha b'chol levavcha v'hoyad v'amayel shanechem tzavcha yom alevavecha. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifre. How do you lead to the Haftas Hashem Alekecha? What should you do to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. If you have a human being and you get to know the person and you're close and you're friendly, then you can develop a love. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so remote, he's invisible, he's removed from us, how can you develop a love? So the Tanoim say, learn the Torah. The Torah is a description of Elokus. Kol HaTarakul is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Malach teaches all the babies Kol HaTarakul, so we should have a closeness, we should develop an Ava towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's say a normal person walks on his feet. This is my marshal, not Rav Soloveitchik's marshal. A normal person walks on his feet. Once in a while, the person wants to do shtick, so he stands on his head. Okay. At a wedding, the guy stands on his head. How long can he stand on his head? For 3 hours? He's going to collapse. It's impossible. He can't stand on your head. A couple of minutes, and then the blood circulation is not going to work, so you're going to collapse. He can't do it. So if the nature of the Jewish people, see, the Ummah Sa'ilam believe in tabula rasa. They believe that the mind is blank, and the people decide based on their education, based on what they hear from others, whether they want to do mitzvahs, they want to do averus, what style of living they want to have. Nothing is innate in the soul when the person is born. So we accept that, we believe that, as far as Ummah Sa'ilam is concerned. It's tabula rasa, it's blank. But as far as Bnei Yisrael are concerned, we assume that the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTarakul, so there's always innate and Abba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how long can you play this shtick? How long can you rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ultimately, the normal thing for a Jew is that he wants to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody's going to have to do tshuva in the end. It's abnormal for a Jew not to observe mitzvahs HaTorah. The natural thing for a Jewish person and for all the Jewish people is to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Rambam quotes this from the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim. If they force the husband to give a get bal korcha, so it's no good. So how come if Bezin forces him, if it's kiddin, get hamusa, they Bezin, kiddin, how come the get is good? But it's still, it's not the get that's given me daita. So the Rambam, the end of Perek Beis, and Hilchas Gerishin quotes this. Usually somebody in Chodesh Elul is going to quote, somebody or another is going to quote this Rambam, the end of Perek Beis and Hilchas Gerishin. The Rambam is not inventing it. The Rambam is quoting from the Gemara. The Gemara says that when the fellow refuses to give the get, and the Bezin beats him up till he says, Roitzani, he wants to give the get, his true self is saying, Roitzani. When he said, I don't want to give a get, that's his pseudo-personality. That's not his real self. His real self has an Amba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch and always wants to do mitzvahs. When he says, finally, when they beat him up and he says, Reitzani is true. He really wants to give the get. Deep down in his heart, he does want to give the get. By the way, the Roitzani, people don't realize what I mean. Roitzani means that he volunteers something on his own more than what the Bezdin tells him to do. Let's say the Bezdin keeps on beating him up and he says, what do you want from me? So they say, you better say Roitzani. Okay, Roitzani. So that's not good. That's not Roitzani. Roitzani means he volunteered something more than they said. We beat him up. We keep on saying, you're going to give your wife a get. He says, no, I refuse. We keep on beating him up. Then he says, okay, I wanted to give her a get anyway. Okay. If he blurts out something more than we pressured him to do, if he just does what we pressured him to do, that's not called Roitzani. Roitzani means something over and above what we're pressuring him to do. He says, Roitzani means, on my own I want to give a get. So then we assume that he's really telling the truth. So that's what the Rambam quotes these psukim. For Hifticha HaTorah, so Shofim Shal Yisrael Asas Tshuva, and if not for that Haftoche, there wouldn't be a Bias HaMashiach, because the Rambam adapts the position of the Tanoim in Perek Chelek, Ein Yisrael Nigolim, Elo B'Tshuva. We're not going to do Tshuva, we're not going to have a Geula. That's the Pashtus in the Gemara. That's what it means. Roitzani means he says he volunteers to say something more than the Bezdin forces him to say. So then, since he volunteered something on his own, so we say that there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, where they need Roitzani only by get and by korbanos. The Mishnah and Erchin only has by two cases. A man is mechuyif to bring a korban and he does want to bring, so we beat him up till he brings the korban. He has to say Roitzani and by the get. What about other cases? Let's say I pressure a person till he has a Rembrandt hanging in his home, and I said, you don't need that Rembrandt. Why don't you sell it to me? He says, I do, man. I don't want to sell it to you. So I say, sell it to me, or I'm going to beat you up. He says, I don't care. Then I hold the gun, and I say, sell it to me, or I shoot you. He says, okay, I sell it. So the din is, tell you of his ovens, mean is mean if he sells. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rabbi, but do you need Roitzani over there or not? So the Rambam holds, you don't need Roitzani. Rambam holds, you only need Roitzani by the get, and by the carbon, and the Raibin holds, you always need Roitzani. So you see from the whole discussion, Roitzani doesn't mean he finally concedes. Roitzani means something more than conceding to my request. It means he volunteers something on his own over and above what I pressured him to do. According to the Raibin, that you need Roitzani by every case of a Tolyu Vizavin, if I hold the gun and I say, sell me the Rembrandt or I kill you, so he says, well, I got no choice, and he sells it, then the Raibin will say that I'm not kind of the Rembrandt. The Rabbi holds you need Roitzani in every case. By Kiddushin also. And the Rambam holds, no, you only need Roitzani by the get and by the korb, special din. The Gemara comments on the pasuk, V'shov Hashem alakecha shivuscha kodesh bochu. It should say really, V'heshiv Hashem shivuscha kodesh bochu will bring the Jews and Rengolus all over the world, back there to Saul. Why does it say V'shov? So there are several psukim in Novi like that. Vishov, Yoshev leinamakim, Vishov v'kivetz. We say in the Shabbos Dikas Miris that this is alluding to the concept of Golos Hashchina. Komakim shegol Yisrael, Golos Hashchina imoim. The Baruch Shalom went into Golos along with us. It's an interesting concept. What is that all about, Golos Hashchina? So the Chidor quotes from Mekubalim and his commentary on the Ein Yankif that there is a din in Golos when a person is a horig b'shoigeg, and he has to run away to the Ori Miklot. It says, "V'nosa lachas ha'arim ho'ele v'choi." So, what does that mean, v'choi? Of course, you're going to live. The God of Adam is not allowed to kill him. So, v'choi means he should live it up. He should enjoy life. He doesn't have to suffer there. So, the Gemara says you have to make the Ori Miklot comfortable. You have to have drugstores, and you have to have museums, and you have to have hospitals and schools and libraries. You have to have movie houses and everything. It should be. And if it's a person who enjoys learning Torah, HaTalmud should go to Maglan the Rabbi Ima. He has to make available a shir for him. So just like there's a din, when you send someone into Golas is not intended that he should suffer. Golas is the fact that he's going to a different location, that's Mechapes. Here also, it's bad enough that we're in Golas, we don't have to suffer. So that's why HaTalmud should go to Maglan the Rabbi Ima, the Shechina goes along with us, to hold our hand to make it comfortable for the Jews. Most of the years of Golus, when the Jews were traveling around, they always did very well. Jews in America made a lot of money, they had a lot of maids, they had a lot of, in Europe also, before the war, the Jews always had Goyishan maids, so we're helping them. When the Nazis came, they were killing all the Jews, and when the Spanish, in 1492, 1492, they were killing the Jews, they're killing. But before they were killing the Jews, Jews were on the top of the society, they were making a lot of money, and they were in the government, and they were very high position. Jews always did very well in the Golas. That was the idea of Talmud Shagola, Maglan the Rabbi Ima. It wasn't intended that we should suffer so much in the Golas. So that's why it says, "V'shava shamalkecha shuuscha Kodesh Baruch Hu will return with us back from the Golas." It says, "When we return back to Eretz Yisrael, V'yachas shamalkecha l'vatzal shiach avasecha v'yirishta v'hitivcha v'hirbecha me'avasecha." You will have it better off than your forefathers had it. In what sense will we have it? Will we have it better off than our forefathers? So there's a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that's relevant for the Rambam. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik quotes it, the Rasha Mishnais quotes it, "V'hitivcha v'hir b'cha mi'avisecho," that when Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, they weren't Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael till 14 years went by. It took 7 years. Sheva Shekopshu, it took 7 years to conquer the Lama and Aleph Melochim, and then that's in Tanakh, it says like that, and then the Gemara says an oral tradition took Sheva Shechilku. It took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. So it took 14 years till they completed the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, then it was Niskadosh. The second time around, in the days of Ezra and Nechemek, we assume the Kedusha Rishonah was Batla at the time of Churban Bais Rishon. So then they had to renew the Kedusha in the days of Ezra and Nechemek. There was no Kibush HaAretz, and there was no Chalukah in the days of Ezra and Nechemek. So what was Mekadosh? So the Rambam says, Chazakah. When they moved in, that was Mekadosh. So the Rishonim derives that from this pasuk. That's what it means. That's not the Poshib Shad, that's an additional level of interpretation. In Shishi, the Aliyah begins, Ki ha-mitzvah hazas, if Nitzavim would be separate, that would be the beginning of Shishi. If it's together, it's the end of Shlishi. Okay. Ki ha-mitzvah hazas, ha-shanechem tzavcha yom, it's not so difficult. Lo niflesim imcho, lo kehi lo ba-shamayim hi, etc., etc. Which mitzvah is it referring to is a little unclear. So the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah quotes these psukim, and he understands the mitzvah that's being referred to as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, mitzvah to learn Torah. And it says, Beficho ovil vavcha la'asosa. Beficho is to recite psukim, to recite the text. Ovil vavcha is the Torah Shebal Peh, to understand in your heart the ideas of the halach. Lo'i ba'shamayim hi, lo'i me'eva la'yam hi. The Torah is not on the other side of the ocean. The Torah is where we are. It's not so difficult to be matzliach and learning. And the Ramban HaChumash interprets, he thinks that the psukim are referring to the mitzvah of Shuvah. V'shapta ad Hashem alakecha was in Pasuk based before, so now it refers back to that mitzvah. The mitzvah of tshuva is not so difficult. It's easy to do tshuva. Tshuva, of course, is based on the assumption that there's bechira chavshe, so that's why the Chumash repeats again. And he continues later, people have bechira chavshe. The Rambam has a whole chapter by bechira chavshe in Hilchas Tshuva. It's the basis of tshuva. It's the basis of schar v'yonesh. A person doesn't deserve to be rewarded for keeping mitzvahs and doesn't deserve a punishment for doing averis if there's no bechira chavshes. Obviously, he's held responsible because of the fact that there's bechira chavshes. It's interesting. The Rambam starts off that perek in Hilchas Tshuva. Instead of using the word bechira, like it says in Chumash, avachar tavachayim, the Rambam used the word rishus. Rishus l'chol adam in the sunnah. Everyone has the ability to choose to do good or evil. Why does he use rishus as opposed to bechira? By us, the expression bechira chavshes is more popular. We don't really use rishus. The Gemara sometimes uses rishus. Rishus does mean you have permission to sin. That's what some rabbi said. Bechira chavshes means everybody has permission to sin. That's not what it means. You have permission to sin, but you're going to burn in Gehenna. What do you mean? You don't have permission to sin. Rishus does mean permission. Rishus means ability to choose to do right or wrong. So why did the Rambam use that expression, Rishus? Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe because in modern Hebrew, when you go to the elections, it's called Bechirot. So Bechirot means, strictly speaking, Bechirot means Your parents give you a choice. Do you want to go to Yeshiva University? You want to go to South Carolina University? All goyim, no Torah, nothing, no Yiddishkeit, no Shabbos, no Kashrus. So the parents give you a choice. Ovachart avachaim, I choose this over that. What if the parents don't give you a choice? They tell you go to this yeshiva, that yeshiva. He says, I want to go to South Carolina. I want to run away from the Torah. But the parents say, you go to this Goyish University or that Goyish University. The kids say, I want to go to yeshiva. That wasn't given as one of the choices. So that's why the Rambam chooses to use the expression Rishus as opposed to Bechira. Bechira would mean if a person, if a human being is presented with several options, so he has Bechira Chavshis to choose one of the options. The Rambam wants to say more than that. A person has the ability to decide Yesh Meyayin. He was never given that option. He can think in his mind he wants to do something. He was never even presented with that possibility. That's Rishus. We have a lot of Bechira Chavshis. So that's the pasuk of Acharta Vachaim. This is Sefer Charedim, which was written by one of the late Rishonim, early Achronim, in the 1500s. So he considers the Acharta Vachaim as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. He lists off Sefer Charedim is a Sefer mitzvahs, and he lists off the mitzvahs by the organs of the body. He tells you how many mitzvahs you do with your right arm, how many mitzvahs you do with the left arm. How many mitzvahs you do? How many averis you do with your eyes? How many mitzvahs and averis you do with your mouth and with your lips and with different organs of the body? So he considers the Bachata Vachaim as a separate mitzvah essay. This is the mocker for Sveika Deraisa Lechumra. This is a mitzvah. Whenever you have a sofek, Bechira means a choice. When you're given a choice, either you have a situation of sofek, should I go Lechumra or Lechula? So the Torah says, well, Bachata Vachaim, go Lechumra. That's of course not like the Rama. The Rama holds that Sveika Deraisa Lechumra is only midirabbanan. Sefer Charedim thinks like the other Rishon that Sveika Deraisa Lechumra is min
haTorah. Well, why does it have to mean Deraisa though? Or Bechart Lechaim is just you should Bechart Lechaim, so that should be even
something
Sveika
Deraisa
too, no?
That's a good question. Why did the Chachamim say that Sveika Deraisa Lechumra? But the Gemara says that's the din. So he learns that this pasuk means Sveika Deraisa Lechumra. Mistama Kachisnu. That's how the Ramban suggests. Sveika Derabbanan Lekula. When the Chachamim introduced the din of the Rabbanan, so they said, you don't have to be so mad. If it comes up a suffix, it can be made. When the Tzavim is separate from Vayelech, you say the Haftarah Saisosis. When it's all Vayelech together, usually, when you have Mechubarim, two Sedras, so the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Avodram, the two Minhogim, where they say the Haftarah of the first Sedra or the second Sedra. And the popular meaning is that you say the Haftarah from the second Sedra, with a few exceptions. So this is one of them. When you have Nitzav Vayelech together, like this year, so we say the Haftarah from the first Sedra, Saisosis, and Haftarah for the second one, that's the sprint of Shuvah Yisrael, that's for Shabbos Shuvah. That'll be the Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah. This Haftarah Sosos is Bashem in Shulchan Aruch. They quote a meaning from the days of the Bali Atesis, probably from earlier, from the days of the Gaonim. Whenever there will be a Chosin who just got married, davening in Shul, he'll be in Shivas Yimei Mishta. So they would give him Maftar on Shabbos. The Chosin is a Chiyav to get an Aliyah. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Chosin is a Chiyav. Why is it a Chiyav? What is that all about? Rav Soloveitchik, that's the first, I think it's the first Ramah in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah has that there's a chiyuv to give the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, a chiyuv to give the chasen and Ali and Shiva Simei Mishta. Why? Rav Soloveitchik thought that the chasen has a chiyuv simcha, and a chiyuv simcha is not only he should be happy, he should be mesameach others. Like on Yontif, whenever there's a chiyuv simcha, so the Rambam writes, Hilchas Yontif, you're going to eat and drink and be merry, so that's simcha sakeres. Simcha means to be mesameach others, to give tzedakah on Yontif. Is a chelik of the mitzvah of simcha. It says, "Samach ato bincha bitecha abdacha maschem hechtecha." No. Ato. Then it says, "Agera yasal manashe bikirbecha." The way to fulfill simcha is by giving tzedakah to those who really need it, to be mesameach acherim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's why the minig is that the chasim, by the chasim stish, says divrei Torah, to be mesameach the others. He should say it cheerful, because bikuri Hashem misharim mesamchei lev. On Tisha B'Av and in Shiva, one is not allowed to learn because Liman HaTorah is Misamech. So the Chosin has a Chiv Simcha. That doesn't only mean that he should be Samech, he should be Misamech Adah. So that's why there's a minig. The Chosin says Divrei Torah by the Chosin's Tish. And that's why the minig is that the chasen is b'chayiv to get an aliyah, because mikra din, whoever gets the aliyah is supposed to learn that section, supposed to learn those psukim and be malamedit to the tzibur. We have a minig, we have a balkorei, so the balkorei is moitzi the oila latar, which shamea koina. So after you say shamea koina, it's considered as if the oila latar taught the whole tzibur these psukim. So that's how the chasen and shivas imam mishta is mekayim his mitzvah simcha by being misamea chadas. That's why Achrenim say that there's an inyan to try to get an aliyah on Yontif, because everyone has a chiyav simcha, so whoever gets an aliyah is considered as if he's teaching these psukim to the whole tzibur. So there are only five aliyahs on Yontif. On the first day Yontif, secondly, only five aliyahs, then you have maftir, that's all. We don't make leisafis, so you can't give everybody an aliyah. So it says that a person should try to buy the aliyahs. They auction off the aliyahs, because there are only five, and whoever is going to get the aliyah is considered as if he's in enhancing his mitzvah simcha by being mesameach acherim. Second best is to give a shir on yontif, or tell over divrei Torah. Third best is tell over divrei Torah at the table. Try to teach some Torah to other people to be mesameach others. So the minig used to be, for many generations, minig used to be that the chosin gets an aliyah and shivas yimei amishta on the Shabbos, and then whatever parshas hashavu is, you say this after. Because the first pasuk says, kechosin yichayin peh v'chakalot tadeh keileho. So the din requires that the haftarah should be minyana d'yoma. What's considered minyana d'yoma? So usually, the haftarah has some kind of a theme that it shares in common with the kriyas haftarah. So that's minyana d'yoma. Let's say if it's tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, so Mocha Chodesh has nothing to do with the kriyas haftarah, has to do, minyana d'yoma is tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. They say Mocha Chodesh. After Biachasan and Shul, so they would say soy sauces, that was considered minyana d'yoma. In recent years, they don't do it anymore. But it's already, there are more already. There are more quotes. Until the days of Ramah, they still had the minig. Then whenever the chosin gets an aliyah, chosin gets an married any time in the year, you replace the regular haftarah with this haftarah. This year, we're going to say the haftarah of Ayelach, Shuvah Yisrael. The haftarah of Shuvah is going to be in Aseres Yemei Shuvah. The haftarah of Shuvah is problematic. It comes from three different Nevi'im in Shrei Yosser, and it's out of order. Shuvah Yisrael comes from Hoshea, then you have from Micha, then you have from Yoel. So the Gemara says in Megillah, you can lay from two different Nevi'im, but you can't lay backwards. So over here, the Shrei Yosser go in order. Hoshea, Yoel, Amos, Avadya, Yon, and Micha. So the way it's printed in the Siddur has first Hoshea, then Micha, then Yoel. So it's already out of order. So it's a problem. So some say that the reason why you're not allowed to say Lemafreya, you're not allowed to read out of order, is because if you're learning from a klaf, you're going to be mishing backwards and forwards. So it's going to be a whole mess. But if you have a printed chumash, so you're not mishing anything, so there's no problem. So Mikra then it could be that that's the solution, but we think that it's not right. You should try to avoid it. So that's what there are different practices. So some have the practice that they say the psukim in the correct order. They save the psukim from Micha to the end, and they say it after Yoel. Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, he doesn't think that you have to say all three. He thinks you only have to say two out of the three. So he says that if you're learning from a printed, what do you have? Hoshea, Micha, Yoel. So he says if you're learning from a klav, so Hoshea, Yoel, one next to the other. To say Hoshea Yoel and leave out Micha. And he thinks if you're learning from a printed, say just say Hoshea Micha, you leave out Yoel. He doesn't think that it's necessary to say all three. There's another Haftarah that's out of order, Mishpatim. The Haftarah Mishpatim is Poshit, where is it from? I forgot already. Yecheskel? The printed text is out of order. So that you should say in the correct order. So it's from Yirmiyah. It's from Yirmiyah, but the psukim are out of order. So whoever, keep in mind, when you get Haftarah on Parsha Mishpatim, you should say the psukim in the correct order, not out of order. In the beginning of Parshas Vayelech, you have the mitzvah of Hakel. That every seventh year, Motzoi Shnas HaShmita, Chag HaSukkos, on the first day Chol HaMoed, the Gemara gives a whole explanation. Why don't we do it on the first day Yom Tov? Why do we decide to do Hakel on the first day Chol HaMoed? So that's a reason with the Rabbanon. Either because you used to blow Chatzaitzris, on Yom Tov you're not allowed to blow Chatzaitzris, or because of the Bima. They used to have a Bima Shaleitz. So if on Yom Tov you're not allowed to construct the Bima Shaleitz, you're not allowed to take it apart. So it's going to be blocking the whole Azorah. On Yom Tov you have tons of people roaming around in the Azorah. And the Bima Shaleitz is going to block the way. Either that's the pshat, or if you build the Bima Shaleitz, you leave it for more than 24 hours, maybe that's a violation of L'sit Loch HaShera Kaleitz, that you're not allowed to build any wooden structure in the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever, the Yerushalmi gives two reasons. The Rambam and the Raivin, in the end of Hilchas Chagiga, the Rambam adopts one reason and the Raivin adopts the other reason. But they're both reasons appear in the Yerushalmi. So Min HaTorah, you would have been able to lain Hakel on the first day Sukkos. With the Rabbanon, either because of the Chatzaitzos or because of the Bima Shaleitz, for whatever reason, they moved it to the first day Chol HaMoed. Yeah, what's today? Is there a mitzvah of Hakel Bizman HaZeh? So we usually assume that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabbanon. So you're not going to have Hakel Min HaTorah. Maybe you have Hakel Min the Rabbanon, but we don't have a Melech. The Mishnah says the Melech lains Hakel. Is it really Likuvim that the Melech has to lain Hakel? It never says in the Chumash. The Mishnah say Melech is to lain Hakel. It doesn't say in the Chumash. So the Pashto says that the Melech is not Likuvim. But the Shemitah is Likuvim. So Bizman HaZeh is no Shemitah. There's no Shemitah deraisa, so the Hakel is not going to be deraisa. How do you envision Hakel? What do you have? You have millions of Jews come from all over the world. How can they pack into the Azor? How is that physically possible? They lain Hakel in the Azor. How is that possible? So remember, Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi here in the neighborhood in Breuer's community. See, he had a suggestion that maybe the Melech is laining a couple of psukim. Everybody stands there. They hear a few psukim, it's online, and there's a reception line. Like in Breuer's, when they have a kiddush for a bar mitzvah or something, so they have a reception line, so everybody wishes mazel tov, they take a cookie, and they move on. They keep on moving. They don't stand there. Well, you have a shalom zoche, you don't sit there forever. You take a cookie, you say a bracha, you say mazel tov, and you leave. You don't stay forever. So he thought maybe that's what Hakel was. Maybe they had a packed azara, the melech lanes a couple of psukim, and everybody leaves, and the next shift comes in, he lains the next few psukim. Maybe they're not mechuyev to hear everything from the beginning to the end. Melech is mechuyev to lain everything from the beginning to the end that the Mishnah describes. Everybody hears a little bit of the psukim. So he asked me, do I know what it says in Josephus? As if we sit in Yeshiva Reisi and read Josephus. I said, I'm not familiar with Josephus. He thought there was a better chance that we would know here. I don't know. We should ask people who study Josephus. Does he describe what Hakel was like in the days that Josephus lived in the times of Barishani? Maybe it says Beferish so or not so. I never looked it up. So Shaila, how do you envision Hakel? When the Rambam quotes the din, the mitzvah of Hakel, the end of Hilchas Chagiga, so he writes the Melech lains the Torah on top of the Bima Shaleitz, like Maimon Hasina. It's a replica of Maimon Hasina. Every 7 years we want to repeat after Shnas Hashmita. That's what the Meforshim, I think that Barbanel has that on Chumash. All the farmers took off 1 year. A sabbatical. They took off a sabbatical. What do they do when they take off? Instead of working Avodah Zarah, they sit and they learn. Now they talk and have kolalim for the farmers. They give shiurim, shnas hashmita, for all those farmers who are not doing any work during the shmita year. So at the end of the shmita year, it ends with Tishrei. The end of the shmita year, so we lay in hakel to remind them that another 7 years, they're going to have another kolalim, another 6 years of work. Then they're going to be learning another year. They'll take off another sabbatical then and they sit and learn. So the Hakel is the conclusion of the year's learning for all the farmers. So the Rambam writes that the Kriyas HaTorah by the Hakel is a replica, supposed to represent a replica of the Maimon HaSinai. Some of the Achronim say that the Kriyas HaTorah all the time, Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos, is also a replica, supposed to be like Maimon HaSinai. That's why the Zohar says that you should lay in Kriyas HaTorah in Shul on top of a Bima Shaleitz, a higher elevation, because Maimon HaSinai, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Rebbe Shlomo on top of the mountain, and Bnei Yisrael on the bottom. So the Zohar, I think the commentaries on the Zohar say, that's only if you're laying in Kriyas HaTorah in a Shul. So the Shul is Miyuchad for davening, and the Bima Shaleitz in the middle is Miyuchad for the Torah. If you're learning Kriyas HaTorah in a yeshiva, you don't have to have a Bima Shaleitz. The whole yeshiva is the top of the mountain. The whole Beis Medrash is the top of the mountain. But if you're in a shul, so the shul is miyuchad mainly for davening, And on top of the bima, that's considered the top of the mountain. That's the different minhagim. It says in Nehemiah chapter Ches, when they laid Kriyas HaTorah on the first day Rosh Hashanah, Ezra HaSofer was a kohen and got the first aliyah, said Baruch HaShem Amvarach. It describes the Kriyas HaTorah as we observe it today. So it says, Ukipischai, when Ezra opened up the Sefer Torah for the Kriyas HaTorah, Omdu Kol Ha'om. So Omdu Kol Ha'om sounds like everybody stood up. So the Gemara says, Ein Amida Elo Shtika. Everybody was quiet. So what does it mean? The word doesn't mean they stood up. It only means that they were quiet. But you can sit during Kriyas HaTorah. That means no. In addition to Omdu, standing has an additional connotation of being quiet. So that's what the Maharam Rutenberg had a practice that he personally used to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. He didn't tell the Balabatim that they should stand. So it sounds like it was his personal chumrah, his personal midas chasidus. He didn't think that it was Mikra Adin. So the Beit Shik thought maybe it is Mikra Adin. It's questionable. Maybe it is Mikra Adin. So those who want to explain why is there such a minigra Adin that you have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah is because it's supposed to be a replica of Ma'amin HaSinai. Just like on Ma'amin HaSinai. On the occasion of Ma'amin HaSinai, everybody was standing. So when we learn Kriyas HaTorah also, everyone should stand. In the end, towards the end of Parshas Vayelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Yoshua ben Nun, "V'ato kisva lechem asashir hazos v'lamdes b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem." What is the Shira Hazos? The Shira is referring to Shira Sazinu. So it says, "Kisva lechem v'lamdes b'nei Yisrael." So the Nitziv in his commentary on Chumash has an interesting comment. He says, "Kol HaTorah Kula," the rest of the Chumash, was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should deliver the Nevuah first. And after delivering the Nevuah, then he was told to write it down. Before you deliver the Nevuah, it's not called Nevuah. Nevuah means Bari Nivs Vasai, what comes out from the lips. So first he has to deliver the Nevuah, and then when he writes it down, it'll become Torah. And here was instructed that this is Fakir. First Kis V'lechem HaSashir HaZaz, then V'lamda. First he should write it down because it's a Nevuah for the future. It's not dinim and it's not telling something about the past. It's a nevuah for the future. First, they should write it down, and then they should lamdas bnei Yisrael sim b'befim. This is the pshuto shel mikra is kisva lachem and sashir hazos is a tzivoy to Moshe and Yoshua that they should write down shira sazin. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that it's not only speaking to Moshe and Yoshua hayrashah to write down and to teach shira sazinu kisva lachem and sashir hazos is mitzvah number 613. Every Jewish man has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. The Rambam writes like that. The men are mechuyif, the women are not mechuyif. Shagasari doesn't understand why the women are not mechuyif. A woman is possible for ksiva Sefer Torah, but why not be mechuyif the women that they're mechuyif to hire a man, a male Sefer, to write a Sefer Torah? What are you going to say? Mil sedir loyov, lamotzi ova shaliach, lamotzi mashri. Since the woman can't write the Sefer Torah herself, so you can't say she's able to appoint a man as a shaliach to write it for her. So the Shagzai thinks that that's not correct. A woman, you would be able to be mechayiv women in Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's what he wonders. How did the Rambam know that women are potter from Ksiva Sefer Torah? The Beis Halevi quotes this Shagzai, and he gives a famous explanation. He says that here the Chumash gives the Tam HaMitzvah right next to the Mitzvah. Kisvo lechem asashir hazos, write a Sefer Torah. V'lamdez b'nei Yisrael sima b'fim. They should learn Torah. Everyone should have a Sefer Torah. They should be able to learn. So since the women are potter from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because we have the drosh on the maratam osmaz b'neichem, v'loi b'neichem, so therefore the women are potter from Ksiva Sefer Torah. The whole purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to have a Sefer Torah. You should be able to learn from it. That's what the Beis Halevi suggests is the pshat in the Rambam. This is taka, a big question. Is that really so? That's the purpose of the mitzvah, to be able to learn from the Sefer Torah. The Pischei Tshuva and Yoredei and Hilcha Sefer Torah, when they quote this mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah, mitzvah number 613. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes a big machlokes achronim. What if a person wrote a Sefer Torah, he commissioned the Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, then he donates it to the shul, and then he can't get it back anymore. He gave it to the shul, and they're not going to give it back to him. So he no longer has access. The shul is locked. He doesn't have the key to the shul. And he can no longer take back the Sefer Torah. So does he lose the mitzvah? Now he has to commission a Sefer to write a second Sefer Torah. Because the mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah, that it should be available. Every Jew should write a Sefer Torah and to have a Jewish library. That's what years ago, Parshas Vayelech was always Jewish Library Week. I think the Jewish Publication Society declared it as such. There used to be, that they still exist, I don't know, in Philadelphia, Jewish Publication, a conservative publishing firm. So they used to have Parshas Vayelech was always Jewish Library Week. Everyone, the mitzvah, every Jew should have a Jewish library. They meant you should have a library of the books printed by the Jewish Publication Society. They didn't mean the art scroll. So if the nature of the mitzvah is every Jew should have a library, then you should be able to learn. Once you give it to the Beis HaKnesses, and you can't get it back, so it's no longer available to you. So you just killed the mitzvah. So you have to authorize, you have to commission the Sefer to write another Sefer Torah. Other Achrayim say that that's not what it means in the Chumash. The Pesach Tshuva quotes. Other Achrayim say the nature of the mitzvah is to make a ribui Sefer Torah in the world, in order that there shouldn't be any suffix as to what the correct text of the Chumash is. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chumash, it was dictated, and then he gave a Sefer Torah to Bnei Yisrael. And the Rabbanu Shalom wants us all to write Sefer Torah, we should preserve the accurate text of the Sefer Torah. We should bring into the world, each person should bring another Sefer Torah into the world. So even if you give away the Sefer Torah to Eretz Yisrael, and you're never going to see it again, you will marbe another Sefer Torah in the world, so you will mekayim the mitzvah. So that's a big machlok, as the Pesach Tshuva quotes.
According to the first approach, so then
the tour in Hilchos Sefer Torah, in the Yerideh, the end of Yerideh, quotes his father, the Rosh, that since Bizman Azeh, nobody learns from a Sefer Torah, everybody learns from Svarim. He didn't have a printing press, but today everybody learns from printed Svarim. So today the mitzvah is to buy a library, to buy printed Svarim. So there's a machlokes, the Beis Yosef in the Bach, what did the Rosh mean to say? He meant that Bizman Azeh, there's no need to write a Sefer Torah because you don't accomplish anything with that. No one's going to learn from it. And instead of writing a Sefer Torah, today the nature of the mitzvah is to buy a Hebrew, to buy a Jewish library. Or the Rosh meant to say, in addition to writing a Sefer Torah, you also have to buy a Hebrew library. In the days of the Tanakh, the whole library consisted of Chamishu Chamishu Torah, that's all. And then the Chavtal Tzvarim, that's all the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole Jewish library was Chamishu Chamishu Torah. And then as they added on, the Nevi'im Aksuvim, so it became 24 Tzvarim. The Man said, you have all the art scrolls, you have everything, so you have to have a library. So that's a machlekes, what did the Rosh mean? So many rely on that Rosh, not to bother to write a Sefer Torah, as Man said. We buy printed Tzvarim, we learn from the printed Tzvarim. The Gemara says, Hakoina Sefer Torah Min Ashuk. What if I didn't write a Sefer Torah? So best is I should write a Sefer Torah. Mitzvah bo yesh b'mshlucha. Second best is I should commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. And then the Gemara says, what if I didn't even do that? I go to a Sefer and I buy a Sefer Torah that already was written. I didn't commission him to write it. So the Gemara says, Hakoina Sefer Torah men ashuk, gechaytif mitzvah men ashuk. It's like grabbing a mitzvah from the street. So that means that you're not yotze, it means that you are yotze. What does it mean? It's unclear. So that's a machlekes achrayim. So the Ramos says, "Kechaytif mitzvah nashuk," and you're not yotze. You're not yotze if you buy a sefer Torah. You have to either write it yourself or commission a sefer to write it. And others disagree. The Beis Halevi disagrees. He says, "You look in the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs, writes beferish that you are yotze. Where did the Ramos come up with such an idea? Kechaytif mitzvah nashuk veinu yotze. It means you are yotze, but it's a lower level. More correct would have been you should either write the sefer Torah, commission a sefer to write it." When you buy it, so you also yotze. That's what we assume. If you buy a Sefer Torah, you yotze.
What if the Yotze lent his Sefer Torah to the Shul, and he never saw it again, but he gave them?
So that the Poskim assume that even if you hold that the purpose of having a Sefer Torah is to have access to it whenever you want, so since I gave it on loan to the Shul, and whenever I want, they'll give it back to me, so I still have access, and then all the Poskim assume that you are yotze. They only have the machlekes if I gave it for good to the shul. I'm not going to get it back. That's the machlokes. If a yarshin, the Gemara says you're not yotze because you didn't do anything bikumbi asay to get a sefer Torah. You have to. If you buy a sefer Torah, so you acquired a sefer Torah. But if you just yarshin, even if I killed my father, I killed my rich uncle, and I yarshin the sefer Torah, but the yerusha happened by itself. I didn't acquire the sefer Torah. That's what the Beis Halevi explains. Yoreh Sefer Torah is not Yotzei. He didn't do a Maisa Mitzvah. You have to do a Maisa Mitzvah.
That's only if you don't call it Gemara Dama who says that Yerusha is Kilt Kifah.
Yerusha is...
If you say that it's that Yerusha is Karda Avua
No, I think Beis Halevi assumes everyone would agree over here. You didn't do a Maisa Mitzvah. Kisva Lechem requires you should do a Pe'ula, Bikum V'Yaseh, to acquire a Sefer Torah. Either write it or commission a Sefer to write it or to buy it. But if the Moirish died in Mela, got to be Yerusha, he didn't do anything to get it, so then you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. That everybody agrees.
Even if Halacha could you hold that it would be
Yeah, over here it doesn't make a difference because you have to do a Maisa Mitzvah. There's a big machlokes achrayim. Also, the Pischa Tshuva quotes it in Hilchos Sefer Torah. What if you do the mitzvah b'shutfus? Let's say not every Jew can afford to spend $35,000 to commission a sefer to $45,000 to write a sefer Torah. So what if you get the whole community does it together, the whole project? Everybody chips in $5, or you get more. So everybody chips in $1, and we all wrote a Sefer Torah together. Yotzei b'shutfus. So that's a big machlokes achrayim. So some achrayim point out that the Gemara in Chulin, the end of Chulin, gives you the rule. Perek Hazrav al Chayim v'Akeva. So the Gemara says the rule is whenever the mitzvah appears in the Chumash in the plural, then it means that you're yotzei b'shutfus. Whenever the mitzvah appears in the singular, it means that you're not yotzei b'shutfus. There it says, according to the rule of the Gemara applies it to about 10 different cases. 5 cases b'loshen yochid, 5 cases b'loshen yochid. Here it says, kisvo lachem. So since it's in the plural, so then it should follow that you are yotzei b'shutfus. So other achrayim tainid, this Sridi Yesh has a tshuva about that. Other achrayim tainid, we don't know how to darshan psukim. We don't have the ability to darshan psukim, and we don't even know how to apply the Gemara's klal. The Gemara says the klal is, whenever it's in singular, it can only be fulfilled b'yichidus. Whenever it's in plural, it can be fulfilled b'shutfus. So applying it to this pasuk is also, you can only apply it if you know the ins and the outs of how to darshim sukkim. We don't know how to darshim sukkim, so we don't even know how to apply the Gemara's drashas. So they say, we're not so convinced that that's the din. But in Europe, that was the practice, that every 50 years, the community would get together. Whoever didn't participate last time they commissioned the Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, so they would participate this time by giving a dollar or two. So the community would be yotzei the mitzvah, see the Sefer Torah, b'shutfus. Everybody would give a dollar. Parshas Hazinu, the Gemara has in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, there's a special way to lane Hazinu. You have to break it up according to the Rosh Yitevus of Hazivloch. And the Gemara says, this is the way. Every day there was a Shir Shal Yom. A Shir Shal Vim Hayom Beis HaMikdash. So on Shabbos, the Shir Shal Yom is Mizma Shili Yom HaShabbos. The Gemara says, the Mizma Shili Yom HaShabbos, the Shir Shal Yom was sung and played on the musical instruments by the Leviim at the time the Kohanim were doing Nisach HaYayin. So on Shabbos they did Tomet Shel Shachar, and the Levim sang Mizmi Shel Yom HaShabbos. Then after they brought the Musafim, they did Nisach HaYayin for the Nisachim separately, and there was another Shir Shel Yom. So the Gemara said, what was that Shir? That was Hazinu. The Levim divided up Hazinu into 6 sections, and the Rosh Yitevus was Haziv Loch, Hezayin Yudvav Lamed Chav, Haziv Loch. And every week they said one section, next week they said the second section, the third section, and when it came the 7th Shabbos, and they did the Nisach HaYayin after the Musafim, then they went back to Hazinu, Doed B'Chozo Chalilo. So the end of Gemara says, Kedach Shal Chalukim Kan, Kach Chalukim B'Beis HaKnesses. The way the Levim divided Hazinu in the Beis HaMikdosh, every Shabbos saying one section, till he completed it in 6 weeks, that's how the Baal Kori should lay Hazinu in Shul. It's a special din. Means you're not supposed to make any hoisofis, you're not supposed to make other hafsokis and hazinu. I remember I once attended a davening in a shul. I didn't realize what was going to happen. There was a bar mitzvah. Nobody was religious by the bar mitzvah, but they were all kohanim. So the grandfather was a kohen, the father was a kohen, the bar mitzvah boch was a kohen. How can you give 3 kohanim aliyas and hazinu? So they made a hoisofim. So they made a hoisofim in the middle of hazinu, which was not right. So the rabbi in the shul was a big talmid chacham. He wrote Shadas and Tshuvas, but he only knew Noshim and Ezekiel. He did know Aruch Hayim. So he never heard of this din of Hazimbach. He didn't know the Gemara on the end of Rosh Hashanah. So I happened to be eating by the rabbis on the way home. I mentioned to the rabbi, I said, he never heard of it. The din of Hazimbach. It's a din of Shulchan Aruch.
Can you make a
Safanchi after the Shira? After the Shira is up, yeah. If there's room to make a Safanchi, it's on to hate, yeah. There are different opinions. Yeah, there is room. After the first six, there's plenty of room to make life. There's not per one. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's one parsha, 4 psukim that you can make life. So for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Instead of making one aliyah shvi, you can make two. You can make one haisafa and shvi of hazinu. Yeah, there is room for haisafa there. The two minhagim that the commentaries have in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says that the din in the Gemara that you have to be mafsik hazivloch, the way they did in the Beis Hamikdash only applies on Shabbos. We're going to learn the whole parsha. On Sheni v'Chamishi, you're not going to learn the whole parsha. You don't have to be makbed on hazivloch, and that's the common practice. The Rama says like that. Another Acharon right now that even in Sheni v'Chamishi and Shabbos afternoon, you should also be makbed to learn hazivloch. According to the way they did in the Beis Hamikdash, Rav Soloveitchik thought that it may even be a din deraisa. There's a din you're not allowed to lay in shaloi kichsova. You have to lay in every parsha kichsova. The Gemara has a din called psuka de loy paskei Moshe anan loy paskinam. You're not allowed to lay in a half a pasuk. Why? If you stop in the middle of a pasuk, that's shaloi kichsova. Then the Gemara has another din called parsha de loy paskei Moshe anan loy paskinam. What do you mean called parsha? A parsha is from a psucha to a stuma, from a stuma to a stuma, so on. We do it all the time. What do you mean? Called parsha lepaskim ashanan lepaskin. So the Magen Avraham asked that kasha. One Gemara in the Brachas only is worried about called psuka de lepaskim osha. The other Gemara is even worried about called parsha de lepaskim osha. And what's over here? Hazivloch. The Magen Avraham asked and the Shagazari asked, what do you do? Hazivloch. It's one long parsha. You don't have stumas and psuchas in the middle. And it takes us 6 weeks to lay it in the Beis Hamikdash. We are mapsik in the middle. We wait till next week. So isn't that a violation of this din of called parsha like paskim osha and non like paskina? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Magen Avraham gives a teretz and the Shagazari works on it, and the Turi Eben and Rashani works on the kash. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the teretz is that kriyas hatorah has to be kichsavoy. So usually the halacha requires for the purpose of kriyas hatorah every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. And the sach hakol of the whole kriyas haTorah, if you have 3 aliyahs, has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. So since the unit that you're working with is psukim, so then you say kol psuka de loy paskin moshe anan loy paskin. If you're going to lay in a half a pasuk, that'll be shaloy kichsovan. You don't have to lay in a whole parsha because you don't have to lay in. You don't have to. There's no halacha that you can't stop in the middle of a parsha because kriyas haTorah doesn't have to go in units of parshios. It goes in units of psukim. And here the tradition has it that Hazina has to be read as a Shira. As a Shira, when you have a poem, you have to stop in certain places. Stop in the wrong place or you ruin the poem. So the tradition has it that the Rosh Tevis of the stanzas of the poem, of the Shira's Hazinu, are Hazivloch. The Staka question, what does it stand for, Hazivloch? So some of them are obvious. Hazinu is the hay. No two ways about that. The Zion is also, no question about that, Tzchoy Maisoylam, that's not a machlein, there is no other Zion in sight over here. So that is correct. Yarkiveu, I think the Hey Zion Yud, everybody agrees. And then the next few are machleikesen. So most of the Chumashim, I think, if not all the Chumashim, copied from Sansino. Sansino, I think, were the first ones one of the early ones, to print a Chumash, and Sansino was Sfardim. Where's Sansino? Italy. So there was Sfardim. So they printed the Sfardish Hapsokas. And the Ashkenazim usually follow Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi has different Hapsokas for Hazivloch. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Nahara, Nahara Upashte. That's an expression that the Gemara has. That when the river flows, so sometimes it has tributaries. So sometimes it flows over here, flows over there. So when you have Minhagim, you say, Nahara, Nahara Upashte. Every community should follow their tradition. The Sfardim should follow the Sfardish tradition. What's Hazivloch and the Ashkenazim should follow the Ashkenazi traditions. Here in the yeshiva, they're careful about that. To lay in Hazivloch even in the weekdays, like Rav Soloveitchik recommended, that was the Lubavitcher community. Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from in Europe, that was the Lubavitcher community. Lubavitcher is makbid on that. To lay in Hazivloch even in Sheni v'Chamishi and Shabbos to Mincha. And here in the yeshiva, the makbet to lein hazivloch according to Rashi, not according to the Sansino. Not the way it's printed in most of the Chumashim. The opening pasuk in the beginning of Hazinu, third pasuk, Yishem Hashem Eker, Abba Godel Alakenu, the Gemara in Brachas understands this pasuk to imply that when one is about to learn Torah, he has to recite Birchas HaTorah. Yishem Hashem Eker refers to Liman HaTorah, and the Ramban assumes that this is a mitzvah min HaTorah. This counts as one of the Taryag mitzvahs HaTorah. Even if he held it doesn't count as one of the mitzvahs, it could be that the Rambam also agrees that Birchas HaTorah is min HaTorah. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Ramban thinks that it should be counted separately, but he can visualize that maybe the Rambam holds Birchas HaTorah deraisa, and it's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Shagasari Paskins like this Ramban, the Birchas HaTorah deraisa, in case a person is a little sleepy, he doesn't remember whether he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning or not, so Safik deraisa l'chumra, he has to say it again. He wouldn't say Safik Brachas l'hakel here, because this Bracha is deraisa. We say a lot of brachas. It could be that all the brachas that we say are not deraisa, but one of the brachas is deraisa. I mean, why should we recommend that b'mokum sofik the person should say Birchas HaTorah? Let him have a mind to be yotze with Ahava Rabba. It's an interesting question. I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shagas Arya that he should rather say the bracha Ashenasalon, Ashenbocha Banim Kol Amim. Yeah, probably because he's going to say the whole Psuka de Zimra. So to say Psuka de Zimra, he's supposed to recite Birchas HaTorah before you say Psuka. So Mistame, if you're going to rely on Avraham Rabbah, that means that he said a lot of Psukim from Tehillim without saying a Birchas HaTorah before. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Why does he recommend to say the bracha Misafik? Why not recommend to rely on Avraham Rabbah? I don't know. Interesting question. How exactly do you see in the pasuk Yishem Hashem Eker Abba Godel Alakenu? What if you're learning Bava Kama and Shem Hashem doesn't appear there? How is that called Yishem Hashem Eker? So the Maharsho and that Gemara in Brachas comments that the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban in his Hakdamah to Chumash, quotes a passage from the Zohar that Kol HaTaruku the Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Chumash from the beginning to the end is considered Shem Hashem. So whenever you're learning anything in Torah, that's called Yishem Hashem Eker. When I'm about to learn Torah, we have to recite Birchas HaTorah. What does that mean? Kol HaTaruku the Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Pasha Pshat is, like we said before, from the Rashi on Kriya Shema, V'haftos Hashem Alakecho. How does one fulfill Avos Hashem? By learning Torah. Because the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Kol HaTaruch Hu L'Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say, what is this? This is a computer. I said, this is an internet. I don't know, what is this? This is a tape recorder. This is a desk. This is a swivel chair. So when you say what the Shem is, so you're giving a description in case there's somebody out there who doesn't see what we have here. So I say, there's a swivel chair, I'm sitting on a swivel chair, and there's an internet here, and there's a tape recorder. When you say the Shem, so you're describing what it is. So Kol HaTaruch Hu L'Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Hazinu, the Zion of Hazivlach begins with Zechori Moisoylom. So the Ramor writes in Hilchos Shabbos that there's a mitzvah to study Jewish history and world history. Zechori Moisoylom. Venus knows Dor V'Dor. He's quoted, the Ramor had his Talmud, had a student, who wrote the history book, Tzemach David, of David Gans. So he quotes this also in the name of the Ramor. More Bariches, more Baruchovah than the Ramor writes in Hilchos Shabbos that he heard from the Ramor, that it's a mitzvah to study history and to learn lessons from history. Zechori Moisoylom, not only Jewish history, secular history as well. Ramos says that you're allowed to read a history book on Shabbos, even Goyish history, because that's a mitzvah. To read a secular book, a novel or something, is not permissible on Shabbos. But to read a history book, he says, that's a mitzvah. Bigger mitzvah to learn Torah on Shabbos, but he says it's a mitzvah to study history books also. Shiras Hazinu ends after the whole, the Psukim say there's going to be a colossal tragedy, a Shoah that's going to befall the Jewish people, and people will be asking, where was God when all of this was happening? That's exactly what many people said. Where was the God of the Jewish people when the Shoah was happening? So the Pasuk says, after everything will all be said and done, after everything will be over, V'chiper ad Masai Amo. Hanina Goyim Amo, the nations of the world shall praise the Jewish people. Kidama Avod of Yikam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge for all of those who killed the Jews and who tortured the Jews for all the years of the Golos. V'nokam Yashil L'tzorav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the Goma. V'chiper ad Masai Amo. What does it mean? So Rashi says this, Pshuto Shal Mikra means, V'chiper means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mephias, he will appease his land, and he will appease his nation. After the Shoah was over, so then was Hakamas HaMedina. Eretz Yisrael started to get built up tremendously. V'chiper Amosa, and then V'chiper Amah. Jewish people will be appeased. The Jewish people will have a Tchias HaMesim again. That's the Pshutu Shal Mikra, Rashi says. V'chiper is Miloshim Pius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease Eretz Yisrael, Amosa, and he will appease the Jewish nation. And then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, but it's not Pshutu Shal Mikra. V'chiper means Kapora. That if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a Mechilas Avonos. The Gemara says, even if he only walks Dalat Amos in Eretz Yisrael, he gets Mechilas Avonos. The Magen Avraham quotes Machlokes Achreinim from the Knesset HaGdolo. It says, you're not supposed to take a boat trip on the ocean if you start on the trip Thursday and Friday. Some hold even on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Machlokes, what about Wednesday? Unless you're going to Dvar Mitzvah. If you're going to Dvar Mitzvah, then it's Mutter. So the Dvar Mitzvah means if you're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, what if you're going to tour Eretz Yisrael and to go back to Chutz Loretz? Is visiting Eretz Yisrael a Mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham quotes Samach Reinem hold that it's also considered a Mitzvah because whoever walks Dalat Amos and Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avonos. That's also considered sufficient Mitzvah that you should be allowed to go on a trip, on a boat trip starting on Thursday or Friday. Then the Gemara says, best is a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, gets a Mechilas Avonos. The second best is he walks Dalat Amos in Eretz Yisrael. And then the third best is Hakover Beretz Yisrael. If a person dies in Chutz Laaretz and they bury his body in Eretz Yisrael, so that's also Mechilas Avonos. V'chiper ad Masai Amo. So the Gemara says, so what do you have to live in Eretz Yisrael for? Just leave instructions. After you die, they should bury you in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, no. And a daima kol tosa lachamisa le kol tosa mechak. It's not the same. If you live in Eretz Yisrael while you're alive, you get more Mechilas Avonos. You only go to Eretz Yisrael after you die, it's less. The Pnei Yeshua has a comment on that Gemara. What do you mean you get Mechilas Avonos without doing tshuva? There's a Machlokes HaTanaim, Rebbe and HaChachamim, whether Yom Kippur is Mechaper, Le'enam Shovim. So most of the Rishonim assume that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, the Shenim Shovim. Some of the Goyim adopted that. We'll never know the truth, but the Bezon Shalmai will have to tell us what the truth is. It's not a shaila for us to paskin. Strange machlokes hatanoim, whether there's a mechir, whether Yom Kippur is mechap or the she'enim shov. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, Rambam adopts the position, Yom Kippur is not mechap unless you do tshuva. And when a person dies, Mises Bezdin, the Mishnah says, they tell him that he should say vidui. Kol ha-misvadim, anyone who says vidui is going to get the mechila by the Mises Bezdin. Then the Rambam says, when you get malchus, they tell you to say vidui, otherwise the malchus will not be mechaper. Then the Rambam says, when you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, you got to say vidui. If you bring a korban, you don't say vidui, you don't get a kapara. Then when a person is about to die a natural death, forget about Mises Bezin. So it says in the Siddur, they have what vidui to say, what vidui the person should recite before he dies. My father died at the age of 94, so he had several serious surgeries towards the end of his life. So he said vidui a few times. Every time his life was b'sakana, so he said vidui, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. You have to tell the person. It doesn't mean that, you know, when the clergyman comes into the sick man and he tells him he got to say vidui, he's going to drop dead. So the clergyman should come and say, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're not necessarily going to drop dead. You know your life is b'sakana. When the galach comes, you know, the guy's holding him by the hand. The galach doesn't give this hakdama. But when the rabbi comes, the rabbi should explain. That says in the Shulchan Aruch, you got to say vidui, even if you survive, you got to say vidui. So the Pnei Yeshua quotes all of this, that we assume that there's no Mechilas Avonos unless the person does tshuva. So when you walk Dalat Amos in Eretz Yisrael, you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's only Mechaper, you get a kapara, Mechilas Avonos, if the person does tshuva. That's what the Minchas Eluzer quotes this Pnei Yeshua. Minchas Eluzer was very anti-Zionist, putting it mildly. So he writes these Zionists, these apikursim, they're going to have a mila, they're going to get a mechilas avodah. They're not doing any tshuva. There's nothing to discuss. They don't get a mechilas avodah. Okay. He quotes the Penishu. That's what we assume. There's no mechilas avodah unless the person does tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is a day that's special for davening. All year long there's a machlek, is the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs, whether the mitzvah of tefillah is the raisa, the Rabbanan. The Rambam's opinion is that tefillah b'chol yom is the raisa. The Ramban disagrees that you have only a chiyuv the raisa, the daven. When you'll suffer, when there's an eis tzara, a major eis tzara, then you have to call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the daven every day, the Ramban thinks is only the Rabbanan. Only tefillah b'eis tzara. But we have a tradition that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the Yemei Hadin. So if it's the Day of Judgment, that itself establishes that it's an Eis Tzara. So there should be a Chiyuv Tefillah Deraisa. The first page in the third Chelek Yeredeya, it says, even though we recommend that a person should never take any Nedarim Tova Shelo Tida, Mishin Tida, V'loi Tishalem, Tov Mizem Mizeh, She'en Eno Dekol Iker, best is never to take any Nedarim. But it says mitzvah lida b'yeis tzor. Tosis quotes such a bereshis rabba on the first daf in Chulin. Tosis quotes from the Meir Hashem. But Yidi Yankin Nedar Lamer Ami Elokim Imadi Shmarani Baderach Hazeh. He says Kol Hashatitin Lo Yaser Asrenu Loch. So you see that it's a mitzvah lida b'yeis tzor. So when do we make appeals? So the meaning is you make appeals on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and on Sholosh Regalim. Why do you make appeals then? Because it's a mitzvah lida b'yeis tzor. Why are these yeis tzor? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Hadin. And it says, "Ba'apur prokim hoylam nidon." Therefore, you may have din. So Pesach Shavuos Sukkos are you may have din. But Pesach nidonim alat tvua, b'chag nidonim alat mayim, Shavuos nidonim alat al peiros of ilon. So whenever it's a yom hadin, it's considered an eis tzor. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if you're sure that's a yom hadin on us, forget about the peiros and the mayim. That's a yom hadin on us. Meyichya meyomus. So yom hadin is certainly an eis tzor. So everyone will agree that there's a chiyuv tefillah derais. The Gemara quotes the Targum Onkelos on the pasuk Yom Truah Yelachem in the Targumin and Yom Yabova. The word Truah has the connotation of Yabova. What does Yabova mean? The Gemara says Yabova means to cry, as it says in Sefer Shoftim, Aim Sisra Vata Yabev, the mother, when Sisra was a general of the army fighting against the Jewish people, said he didn't come home. So his mother was crying. What's happening with my son? What happened was he was killed in battle. He was killed by what's her name? Yael killed him. He never came home. So she was crying because she was afraid of the worst. So the Gemara says, on Rosh Hashanah we have to blow shofar. The shofar should have the sound of crying. What is that all about, the sound of crying? So the Gemara in Perek Hazov in Bav Metzia has a comment. Miyom shechar beis hamikdash nin alu shari tefila. The gates of prayer are no longer open in heaven because it says gam in says in Echa kam ki ezav hashaveya sasam tefilasi. Kozman the Beis Hamikdash is the office of tefilas. Ki beis beis tefila yikari lechalam. Beis Hamikdash is the makom tefila. No Beis Hamikdash, so the tefilas are not accepted. And then the Gemara adds on, nonetheless, even though shari tefila v'ninolo shari demois la ninolo. If a person davens with extreme sincerity, and he cries in the middle of davening, some people can turn on the faucet and start crying when they read his amikayma. We're talking a person taka davens with sincerity. And he's crying because he's praying for something very serious. Shari demois lo ninol. If the person davens with extreme sincerity, so even though there's no Beis Hamikdash, those prayers will be answered. So even according to the Rambam, that there's a chiyuv tefillah every day, but if you have an eis tzara, then the Rambam lists that as a separate, independent mitzvah, when there's a tiny tzibur. So it says, "Uskaita machatzoitzus, chisavim mechavim be'artzachem al atzara tzareis hariyosim machatzoitzus." You have to blow chatzoitzus. So the Rambam says, what is Tekiyas Chatzaitzis all about? Mitzvah says, Lizak olo hariya. Lizak means a tefillah sheyesh bo demois, to really daven with serious sincerity, because there's a plague, or because there's a mochama, because there's a shoah going on, there's something terrible happening. So on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, these are the Yimei Hadin, so there's certainly a chiyuv tefillah min haTorah, even according to the Rambam, that every day there's a chiyuv tefillah min haTorah, but here there's a chiyuv zo'oka, here there's an added chiyuv. The Ramban and the Malchamas and Rosh Hashanah points out that the Mishnayos describe in Maseches Tainus that when there was a Tainus Tzibur, so for the Chazaras Hashatz, the Chazan would add on an additional 6 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. Instead of 18 brachas, Shemoneh Esrei had, it's called Shemoneh Esrei, but it had 24 brachas. At the conclusion of each one of those six additional brachas is the bloch hatzaitzvah. So the Ramban says it's the same thing what we do on Rosh Hashanah. We add the three brachas, malchus, chayin, and shayfers, and we blow shayfer, not chatzaitzvah. We blow shayfer at the conclusion of each one of the brachas, because the idea behind blowing shayfer chatzaitzvah in conjunction, you can't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. That's a hefsek. You can't put on tefillah in the middle of Shemana Esrei. That's a hefsek. You're not supposed to do another mitzvah in the middle of davening. So why do you blow shofar in the middle? Why do you blow chatzaitzah? Because these blend in together. The chatzaitzah on the Tainit Sibur and the shofar on Rosh Hashanah elevate the tefillah to a higher level of za'aka. A person is supposed to feel that the tefillah is more serious. Each one of the special brachas that we say on Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus, Chayin, and Shofar, the concluding paragraph consists of a bakasha. Each one of the three brachas concludes with the bakasha. The outline, the framework of the three brachas are, we start off by mentioning the Ikari Hamuna, what we believe in. On Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. And the same day that he created him, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chibei Serin Daslo Shenivri B'Tzelem. What does that second line mean? Chibei Serin Daslo Shenivri B'Tzelem. So the Rambam explains there in the Pirush HaMishnayis, Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem is one thing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, he notified him, Chibei Serin Daslo, he told him that he was created B'Tzelem Alakim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon all the Ikari Hamuna, the first day that he created him. He told him, I'm only one God, I have full control over the whole world. And then he gave him the instructions, Vaitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam. That was the very first day. So that's why in Rosh Hashanah, we, in our davening, we review the Ikari Hamuna. The Rambam writes that there are 13 Ikari Hamuna. There are really many, more than 13. The others are included within the 13. There are really more. It's a question, why did the Rambam only list off 13? He never mentioned B'chir HaChavshis. The B'chir HaChavshis is included in Aschar V'Yonish. If there's no B'chir HaChavshis, of course there's no Aschar V'Yonish. There's so many other, the Iker of B'chir HaSisrael he left out. There are many other Ikarim the Rambam left out. So the Rambam thinks that there are 13 Ikari Hamuna. The Sefer HaIkarim lists off the three Ikari Hamuna. So basically that's what we daven. Malchus, Chayin, and Shofar. We are reviewing the three Ikari Hamuna that are relevant for us. The first is Metzius Hashem. That's Malchias. Then Torah Min HaShemayim, that's Shofaris. And then Schar V'Yonish is Zichronos. So the framework of each one of the three brachas is we make a statement of what we believe in, a whole paragraph. And then we say, how do we know that it's true? So we quote Psukim, Dovaz HaKos Batar, Mishonim Barvim, Shalosh Baksuv. We prove it by quoting Psukim from Tanakh. Like the Gemara a lot of times wants to prove something. So they say, Dovaz HaKos Batar. So he quotes all the psukim. And then the concluding paragraph of each one of the three is a bakosha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melocho kol ha'olam kula b'chvedecha. And the tkiya shofar that we do at the end of Malchus Chayin Shofar is to elevate the level of that tefillah to the level of a za'aka. Today is the Yom Adin. So it's a day on which a day of judgment is certainly a tzara. So we want to not stam have a davening. We want to have a tefillah with demos. We want to have a more serious davening.
Demos just means serious? Doesn't mean tears?
It means tears. If a person is moved to tears, that's an indication of how serious the tefillahs are. He has to daven with extreme sincerity. That's called tefillah with demos. Unfortunately, all year long, we don't daven. Unless someone is really sick, then we talk and cry, so that's tefillah with demos. But usually we daven without demos. And on Eis Tzara, you have to have za'aka. That's what the Gemara says. Yom Tru Yelachem Tagimin and Yom Yabav. It's a day on which you cry. It says in Nehemiah that on Rosh Hashanah, Ezra and Nehemiah told them they shouldn't cry. Al Tifko, they shouldn't cry. Chedvas Hashem Himauzchem, Rosh Hashanah is a happy day. You're not supposed to cry in Rosh Hashanah, but in the middle of the davening, you are allowed to cry. That's what the Tkiya Shofar is all about. Tkiya Shofar on Rosh Hashanah enhances the davening. It's a chelik, an integral part of the davening. That's why you have the Tkiyas in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. The Gemara says Tkiyas al Seder HaBrach is only when you daven mitzibur. When you daven biyachid, even if you're a Balkari, even if you have a Balkari available, you're not supposed to blow Shofar al Seder HaBrach. So you have to make sure that you daven tefillah b'tzibur. The Ramban holds that tefillah b'tzibur is a din d'oraisa on every Shabbos and Yom Tov. He says that that's what it means, mikra kodesh. Mikra kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. Mikra means to gather together like kruei ho'edah. So the Ramban's opinion in Parshas Emor, and the Beis Yosef quotes this in Hilchos Pesach, he says that the Mesadra HaTfila obviously thought like the Ramban, otherwise they wouldn't have included that phrase Mikra Kodesh in the Nusach of the Shemana Esrei. The fact that we refer to Shabbos and Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh means that you're supposed to have Tfila B'tzibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But on Rosh Hashanah it's especially important to make sure that you daven Tfila B'tzibur, because otherwise you're not going to have the Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. Rashi's opinion seems to be that the Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is a din d'oraisa. Ramban HaChumash disagrees with Rashi. He says, what do you mean? The Gemara seems to say Beferish Malchus Chon HaShev is only the Rabbanim. So the commentaries on the Gemara and the Sefer Yom Trua by Ibn Chabib on Rosh Hashanah, so he defends Rashi. He says that Rashi agrees that Malchus Chon HaShev is only the Rabbanim if you don't have a Shofar. But if you have a Shofar and you're going to combine the Kiyas Shofar with the Malchus Chon HaShev, then it is their Eis. But the Gemara says this combination is only B'tzibur. So a person has to make sure that he, on Rosh Hashanah especially, that he davens Tefillah B'tzibur. Tefillah B'tzibur means for the Chazaras HaShatz, you got to listen to all Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end. A guy's going to daven a long Shmon Esrei, his Tefillah B'lash is going to be forever, and then he's going to finish his Tefillah B'lash when the Chazan is up to the end of Malchius. So he's not Yotze the Chazan. You have to listen. Tefillah B'tzibur means you listen to the Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end, the whole Shmon Esrei, with the Malchus Chon HaShev, is with the Tkiya Shofar. That's according to Rashi, that's a din d'oraisa. Okay. Next week, I think I'm going to have to go out of town to attend the bris of a grandson. So I think the bris is going to be on Tuesday so far. I didn't hear yet. So I probably will not be able to be here on Tuesday. But I'd like to give a shiur on Sunday and Monday. So I'd like to speak a little bit more about Yevamos, not just about Rosh Hashanah. So the man said, please try to learn Vayter in the Gemara. Okay. Give me up. We're going to be on Tuesday.